Knockoutradio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening to The Rock to God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best New Show, The Rack.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man! The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks I found. Oh
my gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put something
on
there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best, we're best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm going to help you with this. We're going to get to the bottom of it.
Huh? What?
I'm going to borrow your pad. I'm going to check out the rest of
the pad.
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, memlanepromo.com. For all your memorabilia needs, I don't know if they have any pink, but I'm sure they've got plenty of rock stars. And wannabe rock stars. But either way, sounds like there's some fighting words being thrown in the chat. And, well, from our own producer himself, so.
I didn't say a word.
I'm sure you didn't.
I've been a good, but Matt Goldberg's apparently a rock star.
Well, we all know Matt Goldberg is a rock star and a world-famous director. But in case you didn't figure it out, the gentleman to my left is Wild Talk Radio's resident chalkboard paint expert and my producer, Sir Rockin.
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing.
I'm, of course, the host of the show, Lindsay Ward, in case you didn't know that. And if you didn't know that, if you're new to listening to the show, hi, welcome to the weirdness that we get all weird in.
We get all up in your weirdness.
Yeah, we do. So, who's on my right? There is nobody on my right, sadly. The person that would have been on my right left a long time ago.
Yeah, it was the angel.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Although, if somebody would like to send me a Bray Wyatt, I'd be totally okay with that.
Yes, Matt Goldberg, this is deep. Very.
Yeah, we are getting in deep tonight.
Very, very deep.
Because we have a ton of stuff to get into tonight. There was news that broke as we were coming to air, that some that's broken over the past week. And today, we also have, you know, a thoughtful discussion, tweet of the week, question of the night, and well, don't we have something else? Don't we have something kind of big, kind of important? But it keeps slipping my mind.
I'm going to rant tonight.
You're going to rant tonight?
Wait, no.
Ooh.
No, wait, no, no, no. Sorry.
That's not it?
No.
No.
No, no. Matt Goldberg's going to be on a show to talk about no. No.
No. No. No.
What is it? What could it be? Ah, I got it. I got it.
You got it?
We have WWE legend Chris Jericho.
But don't we have somebody else?
Wait, Chris Jericho is not enough?
No, apparently Chris Jericho is not enough because, well, we also have one of the stars of Total Divas, one half of the Funkadactyls, the fabulous Miss Ariane Andrews on with us to talk all about the premiere of Total Divas this Sunday.
Yes, Cameron of the Funkadactyls, here on this show, bitches.
Yeah, just saying, you know, if you're going to stack two interviews, that's how you do it.
WWE legend, WWE diva.
Yeah.
That's how we roll.
You know, okay, kittens, if you want a third interview, you've got to recap it. I'm just saying. And Matt, you are too young for that joke.
Everyone, earmuffs, earmuffs, earmuffs.
Earmuffs.
Earmuffs. White out for the chat room. White out.
So anyway, if you are here for the interviews to hear Chris Jericho and Cameron/Arion, they will be on in just a little bit. We will be airing them back-to-back for you. But before we do that, we have some news, we have some notes, and we have a question of the night to get into.
Our question of the night is this. Suppose this. What was your reaction, yes, yours, 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 and yours, to Corporate Kane for Monday night? So we want yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and mine and Lindsay's reaction to Corporate Kane from Monday night.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to go beyond what I said Monday night. Just checking. You're just saying.
Yes, his and hers and all that fun stuff. Yes, we'll take yours, Kane Kittens, if we really, really have to.
Yeah. But, you know, we all know how you feel about your men, so...
Menly, menly men.
Manly, manly, manly men. And speaking of manly men, oh my god, manly men on Impact. But we'll get into that later. Much, much later.
Alright, let's get into the news because we got lots to get to.
So, I guess we got to go with the biggest news that probably broke today. Mm-hmm. And that is in WWE, there were apparently some releases on the corporate side. There were a number of shakeups, including in talent relations. You had Jane, if you know her from Total Divas, get shifted over to be Triple H's, I guess, right-hand woman.
She's now going to be running things, running the office, kind of. She's going to be part of operations. Not the director, because that's someone else, but operations as a transition for a certain network that's supposed to be launched here
yes.
in the near future. But you talked about Triple H. He lost his, you know, you didn't have anyone to your right. He lost his right. His right-hand man.
He did. He lost his personal assistant, which is kind of interesting. And several other people were also let go, so big shakeups today in WWE. There is a new head of talent relations, but the name has not come out yet. So look for that to come out shortly. But yes, yeah, so some interesting news breaking from WWE today.
As we talked about last week on this show, the WWE Network is scheduled to launch sometime in 2014, most likely the first quarter of 2014. You got to keep up to date with the news right here on the rack. Every week, somebody in their chat room.
Yeah, you know, who keeps slacking off and not showing up. Because he's all Hollywood for us now.
Hollywood. God.
Hollywood.
God.
Mr. Film Festival.
God.
By the way, you need to tell me if you're going to put Terrified in Sundance. Just pointing that out. Because I will actually drive down to Park City for that.
Anyway, if that certain person will tell us where the film festival is, we'll plug it in a little bit. Anyway,
moving on. Sticking with WWE and shakeups, it seems that, well, Cody Rhodes' wife, Brandi, has begun training in NXT. She's fast-tracked to be brought up to the roster. Into the Divas division, which is fairly interesting. If any of you remember her, she was at least in, I know, FCW previously, I believe as the ring announcer.
She was also the NXT, NXT or ring announcer known as Eden Styles.
Yes, and then she departed the company and hooked up with Cody Rhodes, and now she's back. So will we see her factor in the Rhodes storyline?
There's a good chance her training could lead to something somewhere down the line.
Very interesting. Also to note, Shaw Guerrero, daughter of Vicky and Eddie Guerrero, is back in NXT once again. So welcome back, Shaw.
She's got her issues under control and is now back in WWE's developmental program, which is good for her. Good to see she's getting herself together and back on the right path.
I agree. It's nice to see that she's able to get everything straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a good thing to hear when you find out that somebody can overcome something. So good for her. Good on her.
Very, very good on her.
We should also note that the 2012 U.S. Olympic wrestler Chaz Betts. Betts announced he has signed a developmental contract and will begin training at the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida shortly.
Pretty good signing for them. Nice Olympic wrestler. Kind of, you know, a guy with a pedigree in pro wrestling, in amateur wrestling, rather. Could be a nice signing for the company.
He could be a nice signing. He really could. And speaking of, I guess, improvements and people moving up and everything, I don't really have a nice transition for it. But Brie Bella has been noted as improving quite a bit.
She has been noted as improving quite a bit. I heard this in an interview a week or so ago, and then sort of made the rounds lately in the last few days. That Brie Bella has improved because she spent a lot of time learning from a certain bearded fella that she's engaged to. She's usually at the arena an hour or two, hour or two before everyone else with Brian, and they get in the ring and work.
Good.
So she's learning a lot. Yeah, she's learning a lot from Brian. You can tell by her performance. We've been documenting it here over the last few weeks. She's been improving, and you can tell. She's training. She wants this, and that's a good thing. The first run, you really couldn't tell they wanted this. Now you can tell at least Brie, and I can a little bit on Nikki's side. She's improved as well. They want this, but Brie has really improved.
Well, I think it's something that they went off and they took the break, and they probably missed it, and they probably realized what the opportunity was. And so they decided when they came back to at least Brie to focus on it, and also dating Daniel Bryan doesn't hurt, and the fact that, you know, we all know how wonderful Daniel Bryan is in the ring. He's an awesome technician.
Wait, Daniel Bryan's an awesome technician? I thought he was a bum. He wasn't trained by anyone special.
You know, no, not in the least.
William Regal.
Especially anybody that, you know, super kicked him in the face.
William Regal, Shawn Michaels, yeah. They're nobodies.
Yeah, you know.
Nobodies.
Yeah. Who cares?
Who cares?
But yeah, no. You know, and that's... And I have to, you know, definitely give Brie props for wanting to improve and stepping up her game in the ring. And I think also part of it, too, is there's more competition this go-around. If you think about it, when the Bellas were really wrestling competitively before they took their break, the competition was not what it is now.
And there's a lot of people, as they document on Total Divas, that want their spot, and there's only a few spots for people, especially down in NXT. There's a lot of names that want some spots, and, well, you gotta keep yourself on the top, and you gotta improve to keep your spot.
Yeah, I would agree. So it's, you can tell at least Brie stepping up her game. Nikki is stepping up as well. Not to the degree I think that Brie is, but...
I'll say this about Nikki. She looks more comfortable in the ring this to go around.
I think she wants it this go round. I think it's something of she's more interested in it this go round, and that possibly has to do with the fact that she's dating John Cena, or like Brie, maybe she recognized the opportunity. I mean, I wouldn't know, but it's definitely good to see Nikki stepping up too.
Especially coming off her injury, she you can tell she wants this. She knows anything can happen, and her time could be short.
It could, especially seeing as, well, news that broke in the last couple days is that Eva Marie is being fast-tracked to the main roster. So, well, those ladies could be seeing that threat, too.
And that will probably be well-documented. Total Divas airing this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, on E!
Yes. And we will, like we said, we will be talking to one of the stars of Total Divas a little bit later in the show. But last but not least, at least for WWE news, before we move into TNA, WWE announced that they are going to be releasing a brand new cartoon series.
Yes, it's called Camp WWE. WWE and the film Roman announced today they have entered in a co-financing, co-production agreement to produce up to 13 three-minute webisodes of a new animated series called Camp WWE. Mike Benson of Entourage and the Brain Max Show will script the series from WWE Studios and film Roman, the anime studio behind The Simpsons, and King of the Hill comes in a relevant new adult comedy series about what the biggest and most outrageous WWE superstars were like as kids. Camp WWE follows the unruly tykes as they body slam their way through formative years, providing to be a nightmare for teachers and other kids. Their exhausted parents pack up their future WWE superstars with masks, chains, knee pads, and security blankets and send them off to Camp WWE to be transformed into model citizens by the most terrifying counselor who ever lived, Mr. McMahon.
Ooh, so I wonder if they're going to get the WWE superstars to voice their own characters.
That would be kind of cool. And to tie all this in, it was reported by PW Insider earlier today that WWE is planning WWE Slam City animated series to be released in conjunction with the 2014 Royal Rumble pay-per-view. The series will be released as part of a toy line from Mattel at the same time.
Ooh.
So there
fancy.
You go.
Yeah. So Matt, that means Matt will have plenty of new figures to review, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matt will at youtube.com/mbg1211.
You're welcome, Matt.
See, that was shameless. Yeah. There you go, Matt.
Yeah, there you go. Don't ever say we didn't do anything for you.
Speaking of Matt Goldberg, the film Terrified will be appearing at the Valley Film Festival November 15th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. You can go to valleyfilmfest.com for tickets.
Yes, please go check it out. We haven't actually seen Terrified, but we've heard it's wonderful, and Lisa Marie Veron, a.k.a. Tara, who we interviewed about the film, has sung its praises, and we all know how awesome that is, so go check it out.
There you go.
So, there. And speaking of Tara, we're going to transition now into a little Impact news. And I guess some of the biggest news coming out of Impact is that, well, TNA and OVW are no longer affiliated. TNA has cut ties with OVW as they will be shifting their talent down to Orlando with the new business plan that's being put in place as TNA comes back off the road. So.
Yeah, they're taking TNA off the road and bringing OVW people down to them. So if you want to be in TNA, you got to move down to Orlando, the hub for pro wrestling.
Clearly. Speaking of TNA's move to Orlando, the new soundstage has been settled. They are not going back to the old Impact Zone. Sadly, that is taken. However, they are going to a new soundstage, Stage 19. Which it is not as big as the old Impact Zone. However, it seems from everything that I've heard and all the reports that are coming out, they're actually going to have more room for the stage and for an audience and that kind of thing. So that's always a plus. For those of you that aren't aware, Soundstage 19 was previously occupied by Nickelodeon Studios, where they filmed such shows as Double Dare and Guts.
Do you have it? Good.
And if we don't see an Astro Crag, I will be very disappointed.
So there you go.
If you're old enough to remember,
if you're old enough to remember Guts and the Astro Crag, yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so old. All right.
Yeah, I kind of do now too. Anyway.
Anyway, TNA announced tonight that on Impact that their 1229 event in Lowell, Massachusetts at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium will be a one-night-only pay-per-view, and it will be Hardcore Justice. the pay-per-view will take place in 2014 at some point.
Yeah, like the past TNA One Night Only events where they filmed at the Impact Zone. They're filming these in different locations. There's a couple in Europe, and this one now just announced House Show Turned TV taping, pay-per-view taping, rather. So get your tickets now for Hardcore Justice in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Definitely check it out. And just to give you a score update on the football game, the Vikings just defeated the Redskins 34-27.
How do you lose to the Vikings if you're the Redskins?
A bad night. I don't know.
Anyway.
And last but certainly not least, for anybody out there that has ever said, hey, I can book this crap better than the writers can, well, here's your opportunity. TNA has put out on their website that they are hiring positions for writers and producers. So if you are interested in working for Impact Wrestling specifically as a writer or a producer, you can head to impactwrestling.com. You go over to the info tab, and it's under the employment opportunities. So you send them your resume and you apply. They do have the job description up and available, and people can go read it at their leisure. I'm not going to read it on the air, but yes. So if you've ever wanted to work for a wrestling company, or if you want to work for TNA as a writer or producer, this is your opportunity. So go ahead and send them a resume.
Now, Lindsay, we should take a break.
We should take a break. After all that news, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we will be returning with the one and only, the WWE legend, the man who is the best in the world at what he does, Chris Jericho.
Y2J.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Laying underneath the palm trees.
Okay.
Stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW, it's pimping.
God, how many times are we going to plug Matt Goldberg in his channel? God.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Finally, a plug that wasn't about Matt Goldberg. God.
The following
interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once. Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Joining us right now is multi-time world champion, rock star, and now the star of his own new web series, But I'm Chris Jericho, airing weekly on ButI'mChrisJericho.com. One of the most fashionable wrestlers of all time, Chris Jericho. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. We're so happy to have you today.
And I'm excited.
You're excited? Well, we're excited to have you, too. And we're really excited about the new series, But I'm Chris Jericho. We've been fortunate enough to see the first couple episodes on YouTube and on ButI'mChrisJericho.com. I'm really curious, you know, what is one thing that we can do to be more like you?
You don't want that. Believe me. Trust me.
I don't know. I don't know. At least so far, what we've seen in the episodes, your life seems kind of fun.
Well, yeah, obviously, it's kind of an extended universe for me, and you know, it's kind of almost a mockumentary, kind of a Christopher Guest type of a vibe of this initial concept that I had from A Nugget of Truth of when I first moved out of wrestling and came to Los Angeles to study acting. And
right.
To break more into this world over here, I realized very early on that even though I was a quote-unquote superstar from another, you know, another genre of entertainment, a lot of people in Hollywood really didn't care what I had accomplished in the past. So I would come to, you know, do an audition with 10 other people who looked just like me for, you know, Bachelor Part 12 or whatever for one line, and it'd be like, you know, this telephone is not working. Okay, thanks, next. And I'd be like, but I'm Chris Jericho. Don't I get another chance? Like, don't I get a
right.
better... And so I kind of started thinking, like, what would happen if, you know, Jericho got kicked out of wrestling, got blackballed, had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn, so I had to get into acting, but I had to take whatever I could get and kind of start, you know, even at the lowest level. To survive, and so that's kind of the whole concept of the show, and it took us about 6 years to sell it. I mean, we worked long and hard in doing the pilot and writing the scripts, and then we tried to pitch it, and no one really was interested, and then about a year and a half ago, my partner called me, and he's like, I sold the show, and I was, what show is that? And he said, Brian Chris Jericho, and I, you're still working on that? And he said, yeah, so... That's kind of how it all started, you know, and then to come and do it as a web series was even smarter in this day and age, because I think 3 or 4 years ago, to do a web series would almost be like doing like a direct-to-DVD movie or something, but now to do a web series, you know, it's the smartest way to have content in this day and age, and it's almost the wave of the future as far as the way people will be watching TV shows from now on, I'd have to say.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and I like how, you know, you guys have kept them kind of short with about 7 to 8 minutes apiece, but I like that you also guys did the extra content with it. I think one of them I saw was the dip commercial with your roommate.
Yeah, and the reason for that was because, I mean, we had a really good budget on this for a web series, but my schedule was super busy and packed, so we had like 5 days to film the 10 episodes that we did. And then, of course, you always want more content. So when I left, we had some of our amazing cast members do some extra stuff, from, you know, my roommate Christian Potenza, to Lori Elliott playing my crazy next door neighbor, to Scott Thompson, who was like my wacky acting coach. He was amazing doing the stuff he did. So it adds to this whole universe. And that's one thing that's really cool about the show is I think sometimes people will expect, because it's put on Chris Jericho, that it's going to be all about me. But in this universe, I'm almost like the straight man. I'm the sanest guy on the show. And I like that aspect of it because it makes for a broader show. And it's almost like the way Seinfeld was. It was his name, but he was almost the most normal guy on the whole program. And it's kind of an element that we wanted to focus on for our show as well.
Absolutely. And I'm curious, because there are a lot of web series out there. What makes your show kind of different than the rest of them, other than, you know, obviously it is about you, and that makes it the
most... Yeah, it's me. Yeah, I think one of the things that we really worked on and focused on was what you said earlier, is that it was, you know, these shows are 8 minutes, you know, 7 minutes long, and we did that on purpose because you really have to focus and when you're doing a show like that with a shorter amount of time, because it's almost like being in a jazz trio. Everybody has to be good. Every line has to make sense. There can't be any filler. There can't be any, the first 10 minutes are great and the last 10 minutes are great, but the rest is just, you know, taking up time between commercials. We couldn't do that. You know, everything had to be meticulously well written and all the characters had to be good. So it made a better show for us having kind of those clarifications on us for having the shorter time frame.
Oh, absolutely. I would agree. I mean, I think it was the first episode where you're sitting there watching it and you walk in and your roommate's sitting on you know, your $20,000 couch and he's messing up the couch, and then the naked father shows up, and then, you know, you're trying to pretend to be cool, and, you know, the show ends with you in a French maid's outfit, and it was consistently wonderful.
if someone wasn't really knowing what you're talking about, it would sound like we were on an acid trip or something from your description. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, when you're doing a comedy, you have to have no inhibitions and have no second thoughts about going all the way with it. And that's something that I always really take great pride in, is I don't have any problem kind of taking the piss out of myself. You know, I'm my own easiest target. So when I can go in there and wear a French maid's outfit or wrestle with a naked man, or, you know, you'll see even some of the more ridiculous stuff that I do as the series progresses. That's the fun part of it, because I think a lot of times, because I, you know, worked in wrestling for so long, that people have a misconception that I'm just have to play like Mr. Macho all the time, and that's not really what I've ever really felt comfortable playing. I like this. I like being kind of the butt of the jokes. I like doing things like putting on a French maid's outfit and posting it on Twitter, where people are like, "What the hell are you doing? Why would you do that?" And then when you watch the show, you realize why I'm doing it, and, you know, it's pretty funny circumstances as to why. So that's one of another reason why I really enjoyed doing the show, is because it's so outlandish in a lot of ways. It's very broad comedy. We definitely have all sides of the coin of the comedy spectrum involved in But I'm Chris Jericho, and that was on purpose. You know, we rewrote it that way.
Absolutely. Actually, it's funny you mentioned you posted the picture of you in the French maid's outfit on Twitter, and we randomly found it one night after we were doing a show, and it's like, why is Chris Jericho in a French maid's outfit? And we actually had to go find it, and that's how we found out about the show. And when we realized what you were doing, we were so super excited for this to come out, because it's like, we have to see this. We have to see what he's going to do, because it looks like it's going to be absolutely amazing. And just, you know, from the first couple of episodes I've seen, it looks like it's going to be wonderful. So I'm curious to know, what can we look forward to in the future? I mean, you said that, you know, things are going to get much more wacky. So I'm curious to know what else
I wouldn't say more wacky, but definitely kind of along the same lines of what we saw. Like, when we looked at the 10 episodes to decide, you know, which ones do we show first, there was some chronological issues. But I didn't care so much about the chronology as I did about grabbing people's attention right off the bat, which is why I insisted that Sausage and Eggs, the show that you mentioned about the guy's naked dad and the French maid outfit, I wanted that to kick it off. But I mean, that's like, talk about a way to get people's attention right off the bat, you know? I mean, there's quite a few other episodes that are kind of along those lines, and two more of them, the ones that will be posted tomorrow on Tuesday, are just as ridiculous but in different areas of ridiculousism. If that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't want to give anything away, but there's more funny costumes. There's more very awkward situations for Chris. That's kind of the theme of the whole series. It's very much awkward situations for Chris where nothing ever really seems to go my way. And that's, once again, why this show is so much fun to film and to write as well.
I would agree. And, you know, like you said, we're going to see you in those different, you know, situations and those different roles. Is there a role or a character out there that you wish you could tackle?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's funny because I've been doing a lot of work in Hollywood over the years, but never really got kind of the part that I really feel I could kill, like, you know, kind of a comedic part or something. So, you know, the saying is when you don't get invited to the party, you start your own party. And that's
right.
Why I'm Chris Jericho was a perfect outlet for me, because it's like, this is what I do best, you know, and I now have a perfect calling card. Like, here I am. This is my thing. So if you think Chris Jericho can do comedy, well, there's the perfect example of it. And the fact that it was kind of loosely based on my own life made it that much more fun to do. And, I mean, if you saw the episode Pirates that came out last week, that is
yeah.
a legitimate, real, honest-to-God true story. Like, 85% of that episode is exactly true, really happened to me about 6 years ago, where I was doing this very serious audition for, like, you know, one of those Lifetime Movie of the Weeks or whatever, you know, Jenny, Your Mother
right.
is Dying, you know, starring Mary Tyler Moore. And it was, I was doing this very serious read, and next door they were auditioning pirates for a pirate movie, and it just went completely ridiculous, because all I could hear as I was delivering these sad, heart-wrenching lines was pirates going, "Arr! Lots of that crazy," you know, and it was just kind of like, what am I doing here? How can you guys not hear this pirate noises coming from the next room? And the casting director was like mad at me and like, you're blowing this audition. You gotta pay attention and drop in. I'm like, I can't drop in when there's pirates next door. And so I thought, you know, that was one of the worst experiences ever. But man, is that ever gonna make a funny episode of a TV show someday? And you know, 7 years later, we got it. We did it.
Absolutely. And you know, are you kind of sort of loving the fact that Ahoy This is now becoming a thing?
Yeah, you know, Ahoy This and Cool With It seem to be the two catchphrases. Every week we kind of focus in on a hashtag of
right.
something that said during the show. And yeah, Ahoy This is, you know, catchphrases come from different places. So that was one that I never really expected people to get into, but they have been. So more power to it. Ahoy This, let's make a t-shirt.
Well, I know it's an internet meme, so t-shirts should be on the way here shortly.
That's right.
Is there a character or a group of characters that sort of intrigue you in wrestling today? Or are you, you know, just sort of not seeing much?
Well, I mean, I don't watch a lot because my schedule's super crazy, over the top busy, but I follow along with what's going on, you know, online and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I like what The Shield was doing. I like the Daniel Bryan character. I like some of the more underrated characters. I think Antonio Cesaro is a tremendous performer. You know, there's a lot of different guys that I think are really coming into their own, and a lot of guys that will come into their own over the next few years. And that's basically the most important thing when you're in that business playing a character, is you have to really get the confidence and the ability to know what it is that you're doing and where it is that you want to go with your character. And once you can kind of stumble upon that, you'll you know, grow by leaps and bounds. And sometimes it just takes a while to figure out who am I, you know, as this character, and what do I need to do to bring this guy forward.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned your busy schedule, and, you know, between wrestling and Fozzy and your other projects, like the web series, you know, you've got a pretty full plate. But is there one thing out there that, you know, you wish you could find time in your schedule for or to try? Is there anything? Because you're so multi-talented, you can do pretty much everything. So is there anything that you haven't done that you'd like to?
I pretty much kept it, like, you know, it seems like I do a lot of stuff, and I do, but it's all in the same realm of being creative and working on, you know, these things that I've always dreamed of doing, which is wrestling and music, but acting is definitely a part of that. So I just want to do more of what I've been doing. You know, the band has been going great. Fozzy's been kind of blowing up over the last few years. So to continue to grow with Fozzy, and then to do more acting. I love playing a character. I really enjoyed filming, But I'm Chris Jericho. I love obviously watching it and seeing all of the feedback that we've been getting, all the positive feedback. And, you know, I like surprising people. I don't like being complacent and doing the same thing over and over and over again. I like changing up and switching it up and, you know, broadening my creative things. I mean, that's very important. That's one of the, I think you can never get sterile with what you're doing in your life, or get bored with what you're doing in your life. You have to continue to grow and get better and try new things if you think that you can accomplish them. And that's kind of what I've based my career on, especially over the last 5 or 6 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, kind of going back to wrestling for a second, you've pretty much tackled everything there is in pro wrestling. But if there is, you know, that one dream moment for you or that one dream match that you could take on, what would it be?
I don't really think that there's any dream matches that are possible. You know, obviously, I mean, I never got to work with Owen Hart. He passed away years mm-hmm. ago, 10, 15 years ago. He was one of my all-time favorites. Get a lot of inspiration from him. And his brother, Brett. You know, I never get to wrestle Bret Hart either. But as far as guys that are active and can still wrestle, I've pretty much been up against all of them, or if not everybody. So you'd have to kind of go back into the past for that, you know, for dream matches. But I would go with the Hart brothers for sure.
That would be an excellent match, I would have to say. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's always pretty good.
So, kind of to go back in the show and, you know, speaking of the past, and you mentioned that in the show you're attempting to break into the world of acting. I'm curious to know, because you said a lot of crazy things happened and, you know, people didn't care that you were Chris Jericho and that kind of thing. What was that experience like for you when that happened, and how did it sort of change you, or did it change your kind of perspective on things?
No, it didn't change me at all, because I didn't expect it to be any other way. You know, I didn't expect I was going to go in there and you know, get the role of you know, the lead in Indiana Jones 5 with my first audition. It was a weird experience, I guess, more than anything. Because even though I was expecting it, it was kind of strange to think that, like, you know, you're basically busted back down to Buck Private. You've got nothing, you know, you've got nothing kind of that makes you stand out from the rest of these guys, even though, you know, if I was in a room where somebody was a big wrestling fan, they'd be going nuts if I was there. So, you know, it's just one of those things. When you step out into a new world and a new venture, you have to, you have to understand that sometimes it's not going to be as easy as you would like. And I didn't expect that as sick or anything that I've done. I mean, even with Brian Chris Jericho, and I would put that up against any series on TV right now, it still doesn't mean that people are going to instantly gravitate to it just because it's me. So you always have to work hard to get people to understand, you know, what it is you're doing, and get them to understand, the work that you put behind it, the passion that you have in it. So it was a little bit of a change to leave the WWE back then, but I expected it and I welcomed it. You know, it's the same challenge I had when I was first starting to wrestle back in 1990. Nobody ever thought I could make it. Nobody knew who the hell I was. But I just kept knocking doors and kept, you know, quote unquote, breaking the walls down to make sure that I could get to the next level. And once you do it once, you kind of know what you have to do to continue to make it happen.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously the show has created a lot of buzz for you, you know, just because it is so fantastic. Has that helped to maybe launch other projects for you? Are we going to see maybe more web episodes of But I'm Chris Jericho, or could we possibly see it go into a TV platform?
Yes to all of those. I mean, I would love to do more acting. I would love to do more comedy. I really appreciate the world we created with But I'm Chris Jericho. It'd be fun to expand upon that and explore it a little bit more, get into these characters a little bit more. But it was kind of, like I said, it's something we worked on for a very long time, and once we actually made it, it was such a gratifying experience. And now I want as many people to see it as possible, and if they like it and, you know, it goes the way that we hope it's going to go, of course I want to do more shows, and of course I want to do it on the biggest platform possible. So if that means more web series shows, great. If it means we can kind of tie them together and make an ipso facto pilot and sell it to a network, well, that's great too. I just want to continue to, you know, like I said, to grow as an actor and as a comedian, and to do more of this would be the ultimate goal all across the board.
Absolutely. And we are more than happy to help get the word out there. So everybody, please check out the one and only Chris Jericho on butimchrisjericho.com. The shows come out every Tuesday, and I believe there's two released every Tuesday. Is that correct?
Two released every Tuesday, absolutely.
Yes, so check it out. If you haven't seen the first two episodes, they are up on butimchrisjericho.com. They are also up on YouTube. You can check them out and watch out every Tuesday. It's hilarious, and you guys need to go watch it. So, Chris, I'd like to say thank you so much for joining us. This has been an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Once again, a big thanks to Chris Jericho. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, I heard a show just recently.
It was this past Sunday, actually. See, it's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait, give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute, I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait. That's all.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. You're... We're not making it. I see them chewing ash, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked him if I had seen him. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I wish my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Free Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Free Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Free Bella lost the match, but Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
I believe he changed to Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling?
then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. I hope everybody enjoyed the interviews with the one, the only, Chris Jericho and Ariane Andrews of Total Divas. We had a lot of fun doing them.
They were tremendous to hear, tremendous to be a part of, and we thank both of them for being a part of it, a part of the show tonight. Go check out ButI'mChrisJericho.com for the Chris Jericho web series, and check out Total Divas Sundays, 10 p.m. Eastern, especially this Sunday on E! And coming up tomorrow on this network, on WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com, the Rack Extra, where me and you actually preview the upcoming season of Total Divas.
That's right. In case you want to hear the interview with Ariane again, it will also be a part of the Rack Extra, but E! Was kind enough to provide us with some clips of the show, and so we're going to break those down, as well as the previews we've seen for the upcoming season and what could potentially be happening. And it looks like, well, season 1.5, as I guess we would term it, looks like it's going to be just as good as the first half of the season.
Yes.
Can't wait for Sunday.
Yes, and sorry, Mr. Goldberg, that you're going to have a song stuck in your head. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, so sorry. You know.
So sorry. Don't you even say anything.
Yes. So on that note, we are going to transition out of our interviews, because, well, we still have so much more to get into for everybody, including tonight's Impact.
Yes, tonight's Impact, which was from Cincinnati, Ohio, which, if you didn't know, is the home of the Cincinnati Bengals, and they got a player on that team.
They do. They have a Pac-Man Jones on their team, and Impact opened tonight with Dixie Carter walking arm-in-arm with Pac himself as security tailed her. You know, living up to the promise that she made on Twitter that he would be returning to the company, and, well, there he was in the flesh. But, well, Dixie and Pac didn't get to exactly enjoy the moment, did they? Because, well, they got interrupted
by Mr. Anderson. And basically, he wants a match with Bully.
He does. And, well, Dixie's inclined to give it to him. You know, provided he keeps his promise of no violence.
No violence. None whatsoever.
Until he gets a match, Anderson can't get into the violence. But, you know, once he gets his match, well, I guess it's on, because Dixie's going to hold him to that. And also, well, Anderson's got to do something for Dixie in return. So, wonder what that could possibly be. I wonder. So anyway, moving on from this, Impact officially opens with the main event Mafia heading into the ring. And, well, they had some things to say, didn't they?
Yes, and before we get to the audio, me and Lindsay both typed to each other, "Oh, so they're still a group."
Yeah, the Mafia music hit, and it's like, oh my god, they still exist!
So they still exist. For now.
In June of this year, I reformed Main Event Mafia for two main reasons. One, to get rid of Bully Ray as world champion, and number two, to keep Aces and Eights at bay. And today, November 7th, we as a family can say, job accomplished. But that doesn't mean that it didn't come with hardship and hard knocks and tribulation, because it did. We faced it all. It's been really, really tough on all of us, and we've been talking together as a family, and we're here to announce that tonight, until further notice, Main Event Mafia will be put back up on the shelf.
What?
Hold on, now you bear with me on this. This is something that we have all agreed on because of the situation, the tribulation, and everything else that we faced this past year. It's got all of us going in different directions. We've all got stuff that we're dealing with. One of the things that I'm dealing with is the fact that last week I was given a one-night-only opportunity to wrestle at World Championship caliber, and I came up short. Magnus, you came out on top. You did what you needed to do to come out ahead. You seized the moment, and that's what this business is all about. It's about seizing the moment. And Kurt, I know for a fact you will seize the moment once again and become World Heavyweight Champion again. Joe will seize the moment and become World Champion again. Magnus will seize the moment and will become world champion for the first time. It will happen. And you, my brothers, I love you like you are my brother. And you know where I'm heading. I'm heading to deal with this thing called entitlement. What do I mean by entitlement? I'm talking about some of those in the back who believe that this business owes them something. I'm talking about those that want something for nothing. I'm talking about those that believe that they should come in right on top without ever having to pay any dues. I was not taught that way in this business. I have respect for this business. Mucho respect for it, especially for those that came before me.
Alright, we're going to cut in there for a second here. The entitled?
Yeah, that was a little confusing. It's like the... So, wait, who is Sting then going to go after? EC3?
That's who I thought of. Because he's the only one who seems to be entitled so far without paying dues, so we're going to Sting EC3 feud? Or is that more of a teaser for Magnus?
Could be more of a teaser for Magnus. I mean, we know that last week Magnus eliminated Sting out of his opportunity. We know Magnus beat Sting at Bound for Glory. And, well, Magnus has been riding high, and Sting seems to be the one suffering for it. And while Magnus has been, you know, bowing down to Sting for the sake of possibly the Main Event Mafia, now that they're done, well, we'll have to see if that's still the case.
I at first, when he started talking, it was like, is he retiring in front of our eyes?
Yeah.
But no, Sting is still around, still hanging in there, so we'll see where this goes, where he goes after the entitled. Now back to Samoa Joe.
Cincinnati. Excuse me for a moment, gentlemen. For the past few months, I've had your backs, and it's been a pleasure. But you see, I, as well as all these fans, have been denied a Samoa Joe championship for far too long. And unfortunately, The road to that championship, it starts with you, Magnus. And I'm more than sure it's going to have to go through you too, Kurt. Gentlemen, I consider you both great friends, but I intend to remind you both why we make far better enemies.
And then there were two. Kurt, you're on a road to redemption. And I appreciate, and like everybody else here, I applaud you for that. Because you are, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest of all time. And I speak the truth. I speak from the heart when I look in your eyes and tell you that, my friends. But your road to redemption just so happens to be my road to destiny. So while I love you like a brother, I feel it only fair that I tell you to your face that after I go through Joe and it comes down to you and me on that road, if I have to, I'll mow you down. Because I have only one thing on my mind right now, and that's gold. More specifically, world championship gold. Because for the first time in my career, I intend to become the heavyweight champion of the world. You know, it's been an honor and a privilege to run with these guys for the past 5 months, but Sting is right. We must go our own separate ways. We have our own personal goals to attain. Mine is to win the World Heavyweight Title Tournament. And like these guys, to be the World Heavyweight Champion once again. Now, I must do this. I must do this to show, to prove that I am Hall of Fame worthy. Now last week I had another setback. I was told by doctors not to wrestle, but I did. And I got knocked out for the second time against Bobby Roode. But I talked to my own personal doctor this week, and he had some great news for me.
What? Just when we're going to get an update from Kurt Angle on his medical condition,
it's
interrupted
Shut
by Bobby Roode.
Shut it off! This is pathetic! This is ridiculous! You know what? I am embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you, Kurt. Making excuse after excuse, week after week, it's embarrassing. Kurt Angle, be a man! Be a man and admit that you lost. Twice. Back to back to the It Factor, Bobby Roode. Just be a man and admit that you lost and move on. Just like I'm moving on. Because like you said, the World Heavyweight Title Tournament is upon us. And I'm in that tournament too. And I'm here to tell you, man to man and face to face, Kurt Angle, that if you happen to get to the finals of this tournament, I will have no problem kicking your ass for a third time.
Now, before this continues on, before we even break it down, the one thing I thought of as this promo was going on is simply...
The pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage because you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight, The Rock's paying you fast. But when they tell him to do a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood hooked up, you're at the end of your rope. And I'm going to kick you in the butt and wash your mouth, I will show. Because, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from a macho, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
I thought, oh my god, too much typing, way too much typing.
Now I'm going to come back to them really quickly.
Well, Bobby Roode, first I have Austin Aries next week in the first round. And eventually, I do expect to meet you in the finals, Bobby Roode. And when that happens, Bobby Roode, your ass is mine. But maybe I don't want to wait until the finals to kick your ass.
Oh yeah! You could feel the intensity when they came face to face in the stare down. You could feel the tension, Taz, between Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. And here they go.
Yeah, this thing broke out nasty. Like a hockey fight here. I gotta tell you, Roode has nothing to prove. I mean, listen, let's call Spanish Pain. He beat the guy twice. He did.
Officials, security, in to separate Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle. And they're like two balls. Takes Roode down with the spear, and they're back at it again.
All right, and they had a pull-apart brawl like no other.
They had several pull-apart brawls. They pulled them apart 4 or 5 times, and that's before the break and after the break.
All right, we're at the break right now. They want the break. People are curious, pulling apart. So Joe is focused on the world title. Magnus is focused on the world title, and Kurt Angle and Bobby Roode want to kick each other's ass when they get to the finals.
Yeah, this was a nice segment. It was a nice explanation of the Mafia splitting apart, because we've noted here for a couple weeks now that really the Mafia haven't really felt their presence. And granted, you haven't really felt Aces and Eights, but they've still been there, and they've referenced the Mafia, but it's like they've all been coming out to their own music, and they've all been kind of doing their own thing, and there isn't really any reference to the actual Mafia. So this was a nice, you know, where it's like, oh, hey, look, it's the actual Main Event Mafia. How about that? And they all came out together, and, you know, Sting basically says the Aces and Eights are all but dead. Billy doesn't have the title. And we don't need you. We're not needed anymore. And truth be told, the Mafia had nothing to do with getting the title off of Bully.
No, they didn't. Originally, they did.
Originally, they did for Sabin, but they didn't do it for AJ. So it's like, well, you know, you guys were kind of sort of secondary anyway.
Well, they had a mission statement and accomplished it, and that's good for them.
I guess. I don't know. It just, to me, it was like, it just... This, you were expecting this to happen, you were kind of waiting for this to happen, so it's like, okay, alright, you know, there's nothing wrong with this at all, it's nice to see them, they got some good promos in, this was an absolute pain in the butt for me to recap, because for those of you that don't know, I recap the show, I take my own notes, so that way I can speak better about the show as opposed to reading somebody else's recap, because people leave stuff out. and forget things or miss things, and plus I can't just sit here and read it out loud because I suck at it. So
she puts it in her own words, and when we have audio, it's even better for her. So yeah, that's
yes.
The first 15 minutes. We went to break, and Kurt Angle is in the ring, shirtless, called out Bobby Roode to come back to the ring, or prove he's a coward. Roode came out, and Lindsay went,
Lindsay went, oh my god, Bobby Roode in a wife beater and jeans. Holy crap.
So they brawled again. You had Al Snow, Pat Kenny try to break it up. Then they broke them up. They went after each other three or four times, as Lindsay mentioned before. Kaz and Daniels, Joe and Magnus came out. Kaz and Daniels pulling back Roode. Joe and Magnus pulling back Angle. This went on for about 5-6 minutes. And they finally got them apart. Finally, Kurt Angle is taken to the back. They're all good. Everything's settled, right? Cool.
Not quite.
What happened?
Well, Kaz and Daniels weren't quite done.
What? No, they kind of weren't.
Bad Influence decided they wanted to be just a little bit more bad, and, well, guess who happened to be sitting at ringside? That's right, Pac-Man Jones and Rashad Evans of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Not Rashad Evans. It begins with a D. It's not Rashad. Rashad's an MMA fighter.
Sorry.
I'll get the name for you here in a second.
I'm sorry. I don't know football players' names. I'm sorry.
DeQuinn Evans.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Evans. Anyway, Pac-Man Jones and DeQuinn Evans, they were sitting at ringside, and Bad Influence decided they were going to talk some smack. People got in people's faces. Bad Influence pushed Jones and Evans back. And, well, Jones and Evans decided that they weren't going to take that. And a good old-fashioned beatdown happened when the Cincinnati Bengal boys decided to jump the rail. Attack Bennett, Bad Influence. They slammed them in the ring and left them laying as they posed for the crowd.
Alright, there's been a lot of negative feedback coming in before this show about Pac-Man Jones. This was a nice use of Pac-Man Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Crowd was hot, really, really hot for this segment, for this little bit, because their Cincinnati Bengal players got in a ring, slammed them. Pac-Man Jones did more physical action here than when he was World Tag Team Champion.
Right?
But it was a nice use of him, got the crowd popping, keeping them hot for the show. Very nice stuff.
Yeah, this was a good positive use. You got it out of the way in the first 20 or so minutes of the show. He didn't wrestle a full match. He wasn't used cheesily. It's just something of, we're going to push you back, so guess what? We're going to beat you down. And I was perfectly fine with it. I'm with Rock. This was a great use of them. Because, yeah, it's like you hear that and it's like, oh, God, why are they bringing Pac-Man back? And then it's, okay, all right, this works.
You really can't complain about what they did. And there's people out there on forums and groups and stuff that complain about it. It's like, realize what happened. Just realize what they did and how it really doesn't affect TNA. Just point that one out.
Yeah, it doesn't affect him at all, so it's fine. But moving on from here, we see Hardy and Sabin backstage. We also see the girls on the way to the ring. And then backstage, we see Garrett and Nux. They're talking to the roving camera, and basically they tell the camera to F off, that, you know, club business is not anyone's business but their own. Anderson then confronts them backstage. He tells them that, you know, he understands what they had to do. He understands loyalty. He gets all that. He's not mad at him. He's not hating. You know, he gets it. But he says that what Garrett and Nux did was probably the best thing they could ever do for him. Beating him down and stripping him of his colors. Because that means he was out. That means he was free. And he tells them, just get out.
Get out, man.
Just break off. Get out, man.
Just get out. This isn't what we started. Just get out.
Mm-hmm. And, well, it continued, but this was after the match between Velvet and Brooke and ODB.
Yeah, nice little segment before we get to the match. Very nice stuff. Nice little tease for what is to come later in the show.
Could there be a dissension in the ranks, maybe? Possibly?
Possibly.
Mmm. Guess we'll have to see.
Our opening contest of the evening is a three-way number one contenders match for the Knockouts Championship. Brooke, Velvet Sky, and ODB. All right. So
probably, what, a half hour into the show?
About a half hour to the show. Earlier than the one in Salt Lake. All right, the match started, basically, you had them shaking their asses. Nothing wrong with that. And then ODB showed off her boobs. And went bam, bam, both to to Velvet and Brooke. Like, take this, boom, or bam, as it were. And then they got into some action. It was a nice match.
It was okay.
When you had Velvet and ODB going at it, it was really good. I will give Brooke credit. She took some chances that were nice. Nice elbow drop, nice cross body. It's a little hard to getting a three-way, and yeah, it was a nice match. The match finished, saw Gail Kim and Lady Tapa clear the ring. So because of disqualification when Gail hit the eat the feet on Velvet. So no winner there. And then, after all three women were knocked out and we had a Lady Top ODB confrontation, Gail kind of had something to say, didn't she, Lindsay?
She did have something to say. She basically said, you know what? I have no more competition in this company. I've beaten everybody except Lady Tapa. Just pointing that out, Gail. But anyway, Tapa, you know, basically makes Gail unstoppable, and Gail, feeling, you know, full of herself and confident and all that, issues an open challenge to anybody outside of Impact Wrestling. So if you're a female wrestler and you think you can beat Gail Kim with Lady Tapa in tow, you're welcome to go and challenge her. And heck, if you beat her, you might even get a title shot.
Yeah, if you beat her, you get a title shot to anyone out there. Go for it.
Go for it, yeah. But just quick notes on the match. I get that Brooke took some risks. I'm not the biggest fan of Brooke.
Oh, I know. I know you aren't. But she tried, and
She tried, but it's like, I would be happier if they just left Brooke to be a valet and not a wrestler.
Well, when there's one, two, you know.
I know. When there's only, like, five knockouts, including Brooke, yeah, I get that. It's not going to work.
They were all in the segment. And poor Christy Hemme, going onto Impact 365, she kind of chipped her tooth.
Yeah, poor thing.
Poor thing.
Anyway, after this match, we get a recap about AJ Styles. We also see Jeff Hardy getting ready, and then, well, the drama for the Aces continues.
Hold on. You forgot to mention something very, very clear about this video about AJ Styles.
What?
It was brought to you by the Friends of AJ Styles, where they showed his title victory in AAA Mexico. It was brought to you by the Friends of AJ Styles.
So who got access to the production truck?
No, it's not. Nothing to do with the production truck. They bought television time.
Right.
It was a commercial. Okay. See? Commercial.
Yeah. Yeah. You could see the look on my face. Yeah. No. Anyway, yes, it was brought to you by the Friends of AJ Styles. Anyway, can we now get on to the Aces of Eights?
Yeah, talk about it.
All right, well, backstage, you have Garrett and Knox talking about what Anderson said. Well, it sounds like they might be considering it, at least until Bully walks up. And, you know, he tells them that he sees and hears everything, so he already knows about Anderson. And Garrett tells him, well, we were planning to tell you. We really were. And Bully doesn't seem the least bit happy about it. So, you know, he says that the club is about all of them. He started the club for them. And Garrett says, well, you know, no offense, but it's not about us. It's about you. It's always been about you. Garrett asks, you know, when was the last time we even had a vote on something? And Bully says, you know, they vote about everything. When do they not vote? And, you know, Nux breaks in and says, those votes haven't, you know, they don't really count because they've all been about Bully and his agenda. They've done nothing to benefit the club and nothing to help the club. Nux then calls for a vote on what we have no idea, but he calls for it right now And, well, Bully grabs Garrett as he walks off and tells him, you better vote the right way.
All right. I was confused a little bit. I was like, what are they voting for? What are they actually voting for?
Like, can they even do a proper vote with four people?
If it could end up in a tie. Lance Storm was pointing it out. I could see this ending in a tie.
And I guess since Bully's the president, he gets the final say.
Supposedly. So, yeah, nice little backstage conversation, and Taz will be involved in the vote coming up here in a few seconds.
He will. After this, we see Dixie backstage, and while she is not happy about the message from the friends of AJ Styles, she's yelling at an unknown person, telling them to fix it, that, you know, they're not going to have to worry about sponsors, the network, or anything like that if this continues to go on, because it's making everybody look bad. She wants it fixed. She hangs up on the person, and after this, we see EC3 walk into the room. They're all lovey-dovey. And, well, you know, EC3's worried because, you know, his streak might end tonight, but Dixie tells him not to worry because he's going to pick the right opponent because he gets to pick his own opponent tonight.
And who would his opponent be? We shall find out.
I don't know, but after this, the Aces are in the ring, and, well, they had some stuff to say.
They did have some stuff to say. Garrett Bischoff asked Taz to get in the ring, and he basically said, you know, they usually, you know, they want to get Bully out there, and they got some business that they want to handle right about now.
Shut it off! Do you? Yes, we all know who you are, Bully. You are the poison that has torn this club apart. Since day one, it's been about you, 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 and your ego. It's never been about us. And whether you like it or not, this vote is happening right now.
But before that vote, it's an interruption from Mr. Anderson, former member of Aces and Eights. We know he's focused on one thing only. That's getting a match one-on-one against Bully Ray.
Don't mind me. I'm just out here watching this thing implode. Carry on with your bad self.
Like I said, this is happening right now. My vote, I'm finished.
Nutsy, I can always count on you. You've been my rock from day one. Let's send this punk home, do the right thing.
You know, Bully, I don't need you. I don't need this club. And I don't need these colors.
Garrett and Nuts hanging up their cuts.
Fine. We're going to have ourselves a tie. The two of you want out, don't you? Well, you know what we're going to vote. And we're going to have a tie. And tie goes to the president. I vote that we keep the aces and eights right where it is. My club. My invention. And since this is my best friend in the whole world, we know exactly how he's gonna vote. Because unlike you two, this man knows how to do what his president tells him to do. You need to pump the brakes a little bit. You and I, our whole careers did the right thing. Individually, collectively, did the right thing. You know this has gone wrong. You know this club has just been rolling through your agenda and your agenda only. Therefore, these two guys are right. That guy right there, he's right. I'm done.
That's the swing vote. Taz, gonna turn the cut right over to Bully?
Put your colors back on. Make me!
Oh, I'd like to see that.
I'm gonna say it one more time, and you better fall in line before you fall on your face. Put your colors back on. Make me. I will destroy you. Make me put them on. This is all your fault.
Oh, yeah.
Your fault.
Oh, yeah.
You have ruined everything.
What? You got nobody else to manipulate? No more lemmings running around doing your bidding? You know, I'll tell you what. Boss approved already. November 21st, live from Orlando, Florida, Impact Wrestling presents Turning Point. And you know what? I don't want to wrestle you. I want to fight your ass. Oh, wait. No disqualification.
I've hated you from day one. You ungrateful son of a bitch. You are nothing without me. But there's one thing, Ken, there's one thing that I never understood about you. For a guy like you, who respects Stone Cold Steve Austin so much, I can't believe that you forgot the very first rule.
Anderson goes shoulder first, head first, into the steel steps because of Knox and Garrett. we thought we had the implosion of aces and eights. Oh!
Don't trust anybody. I said it before, and I'll say it again. When you ride with the aces and eights, you never walk alone.
Why? What?
Fantastic segment.
Oh, this was amazing.
Hell.
This was easily segment of the night.
Hell of a swerve. Hell of a swerve. They had me. They had me going. It's like, the club's broken up. Club's broken up. And then he says, Stone Cold Steve Austin's name. And then you think, DTA. And then, boom, out comes Garrett. Mm-hmm. Out comes Knox. They attack Anderson, as you heard, and left him laying. Fantastic. Fantastic segment.
Well, I was sitting there, I was watching it, and it was like, I saw Garrett and Knox leave.
Right.
And I saw Taz leave.
No, Taz never left. Taz got in the face of Bully, which was fantastic. That was vintage Taz, old school Taz.
Oh, I know, but like after that.
Yeah, he backed
Taz
up.
Taz sort of
he
backed off.
He backed up into the corner, holding the vest.
And it's like, I was sitting there, I was like, wondering, well, where Wes, or I keep wanting to call him Wes, where are Garrett and Nux going? Mm-hmm. And it's like, where'd they go? And then it's like, he mentioned Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm like, oh no, it's a swerve. Here it comes. And he said, and what's Austin's number one rule? Don't trust anybody. Bam. I mean, this was fantastic.
Nice. Nice stuff. It was an excellent segment. Segment of the night, yeah. Nice swerve. Everyone thought the aces and eights were dead, but for now, they're not.
Yeah, it's like, huh, this is a little, you know, kind of sort of meh to have, you know, the Mafia and the aces both break up on the same night, but it's like, nope, we can still sue a swerve, and we're going to do one more just to mess with your head. Mm-hmm. So, well done. Bravo, TNA. Very well booked. After this, we see Taz smirking triumphantly at the announce table, which is hilarious. But then, well, Bobby Roode comes out. And he's livid. Like, livid. And, you know, he basically says things, you know, between him and Angle are done. Bobby then demands that Taz make Angle appear. Which Taz is like, what do you want me to do?
He has the magical powers to bring out Kurt Angle?
Taz is like, I did my bit. I'm done. Bobby then takes a mic and, you know, he says he's ready to kick Angle's ass. And he demands that Angle come back out right now. But, well, you know, instead of Angle coming out, we get an EC3?
Ethan Carter III.
To which I thought, oh, is Bobby going to beat down Ethan Carter III? But I guess not, because Bobby very calmly vanished from ringside.
Because he had to get away. He had to walk away. Because you got to give all the spotlight for Ethan Carter III and his opponent.
Yes, his opponent, his masterful choice, the man that might end his streak, one Dewey Barnes!
The fans went, Dewey, Dewey, Dewey. No. Not really.
Hey, I was going Dewey, Dewey.
All right, I'll rephrase it. The fan went Dewey, Dewey, Dewey.
If you don't like Dewey Barnes, you suck. Just in discussion. If you don't like Norv, you suck. Nerdbusters 2016.
So Dewey showed some offense, but EC3 took him out with the one percenter. For the victory. Mm-hmm.
After this, he said, I am Ethan Carter III, and I am a Carter, and you need us.
The world needs us.
No. No, we don't.
No? No? We don't. Mm. No?
Thankfully, you know, we get away from Ethan Carter III, and well, seemed bad, you know, Bobby wasn't done, and well, neither was Bad Influence.
No, they weren't.
There's nothing better than leftover Halloween candy. Where's that last piece of candy corn?
Oh, Frankie, look who's here. How much of that candy corn have you been eating there, big fella?
Only about 100 pieces, but it's okay because corn's a vegetable, you know.
Listen, you chub of goo. Obviously, you weren't here last week for Halloween, so you were out trick-or-treating or at the annual Halloween bash at the law offices of Park, Pancake, and Peanut Butter.
Hey, wait a minute.
You know what, Frankie? That's a good point. Last week, Joseph Park nowhere to be seen, and all of a sudden, here comes Abyss. Now Abyss has gone the way of the dodo, and here this dodo is. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
What are you two talking about? I don't know what you two bullies are trying to insinuate, but you're wrong. And I'll tell you one thing else. I don't appreciate the nasty voicemails you left Maury either.
Oh, really? Oh, well, your brother's not around, so what are you going to do about it, big fella, huh?
Come on. Hey, come on.
Whoa. You guys done bullying my buddy when it's 2-on-1? Look, I'm a scientist. Last time we ran this test group, we whip you. We whip you bad. So I'm thinking maybe we have another science experiment tonight.
Tonight?
We don't have to do this incognito back here. We can do it out in front of everybody. What do you say? Yeah. Yeah. I'll see you guys out.
Sure? You just got us into a match.
I think I just bullied him into a match.
God, why? Thanks for showing up when you did.
All right. The greatness of this segment was that Joseph Park had a bucket like you're 5 years old with like Halloween candy in it.
It was a McDonald's bucket. It was amazing. Bravo.
Indeed, correct.
And I love how he's like, well, only about 100 of the candy corn, but you know, corn is a vegetable. Joseph Park is my kind of people. Mm-hmm. Seriously, my kind of people. He counts candy corn as a vegetable. Done. Just done.
That's a win right there.
But yeah, this was fantastic. It was a nice little up moment from the EC3 match and also from the heavy segment with Aces and Eights. So this was a nice sort of lift heading into the main event. But before we got there, well, Kurt Angle wasn't done either. Kurt Angle
hold on,
came back
hold on,
out.
Hold on. You forgot the match.
What match?
Eric Young and Joseph Park versus Bad Influence.
Did I not write it? Oh my god, I didn't write it down. Oh wait, no. There it is. I just skipped it. I was going to say, no, it's right there together. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
All right, so they had a match. Really fun match. Bad Influence won, and I'm going to quote your friend Melinda on Twitter. She went for the finish. That wily Christopher Daniels with his patented teeny toss of doom. Told her I was stealing that line, and I credit her for the line. So there you go. The teeny toss of doom. That's how they picked up the victory.
Yes. Now can I move on?
Now you can move on, but, you know, how to get the match in there. There was only a few.
You know, we can't forget. Yeah, tonight was a very segment-heavy show. But
apparently,
moving on from the teeny toss of doom...
Which should be a hashtag. Everyone should just hashtag teeny toss of doom.
Yes, hashtag teeny toss of doom. Credit at Melinda Blue for it. Follow her on Twitter. She's amazing.
And King Ken says no power to fire anyone. So just point that one out.
No. If anything, we have the power to fire you, dude. And then how will you provide for your harem? Just say it.
See, you set yourself up and then she... turns it right around. There you go.
Yeah. You know, practice. Got a skill. Not a lot, but that's my skill. Anyway, moving on now to the right part of the show, because, you know, Lindsay's skipping her notes. Angle comes out, and, well, he wasn't done. He calls Bobby Roode out one more time. But instead of Bobby, we get Austin, and basically Austin reminds Angle that they're supposed to have a match next week. That, you know, Austin gets his focus is on Bobby Roode, and that's fine, but... you know, Austin reminds Angle that, well, he should have his attention fully on Austin Aries, because while Angle's a cyborg, Aries is a wrestling machine, and if Angle isn't focused, then Aries will take him down and cost him his chance at the title. We then have Dixie interrupt, and she spins the Wheel O' Dixie.
Wheel of Dixie.
And we get the result of next week, which will be a submission match.
Should be good.
Or I should say the result of the spin, which is a submission match.
Should be a good match.
Should be a great match. After this, we have Bobby Roode come out. He cheap shots Aries and then goes after Angle. All three of them brawl. Before you know, security breaks them up one last time. And yeah, so this was the end of the Angle Roode segment. Before we move on, I would like to say this was a little much.
Yeah.
It's like Bobby and Angle both coming out those last times was a little much. You should have left it. You should have either done it backstage or you should have done it on the next week.
But they did it tonight, so it was fine.
It was fine.
I did like that they kept brawling. It was fun. It was a nice... Like, one thing I always say about pro wrestling, what I always really enjoy, is a show-long story. And the show-long story was Angle and Roode, and I really enjoyed it.
I don't know, I just felt it was a little much, but that's just me.
Yeah, they went one segment too many, but yeah.
Yeah. But after this, we get the Full Metal Mayhem match between Hardy and Sabin, with Hardy picking up the victory. Seems like there were a few mess-ups in this match.
A couple. And you can't really say they're mess-ups. Mess-ups, especially the one where Hardy got the knees up and then just the table broke on him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like this match. It was a nice... They didn't have a lot... They didn't do a long, long match. It went about 10 minutes or so. But they made each spot they did impactful, which is what you want.
Right. I would agree. I mean, they only gave him about 10 minutes, which is,
short, really isn't that long. No, for Impact Main Event, it's a short one, but they build it up, they made you wait to the end to see the match, and for guys with the wrestle a lot, another set of tapings, 10 minutes, pretty good timing, and they beat the hell out of each other, and that's what you sort of want.
Yeah, that's definitely what you want. And it was a nice close to impact. You see Hardy pick up the victory, which eliminates Chris Sabin from the title hunt. So Hardy moves on to the next level, and who will join him? Next week we have Aries and Angle going, and I believe at some point we're going to get Roode and Storm.
Yeah, apparently we're still correct. One of them still could win.
Yeah, so we still both reserve the right to repick if one of them gets eliminated.
At some point.
But... At some point, because they're going against each other first, so somebody's going to get eliminated. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was a good show. It moved. The problem was, for recapping, it sucked because it was really, really, really segment heavy. So a lot of typing.
A lot of typing for you, but it was a hot show, which is what you want. The crowd was really into it. Again, not as loud as Salt Lake, but they were into the show, and that's what you want.
That's absolutely what you want, and I hope they carried it on through for next week's tapings. We'll have to see, though, next week.
We'll have to see next week. And then they're in Orlando, so things will get interesting from there. So, good show overall.
Great show overall, and with that, I think we're just going to move right through to Tweet of the Week.
Used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I am sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, am I first? Because I know you got a bunch.
Well, you're always first because, well, I have a bunch.
Yeah. So, Christopher Daniels. When I called Delta to investigate my travel woes, they said a sweaty-voiced man changed my flight. I suspect at Joseph Part ESQ. Hashtag guilty and fat. Christopher Daniels. It seems at Joseph Park ESQ isn't a member of Park and Park to handle, or isn't the member of Park and Park to handle the witty retort. Maybe he was sick that week of school or fat.
Ooh.
Ouch. Burn.
He got burnt.
Felicia Day. Separating what people expect from you and what you actually want is one of the hardest things in life. Hashtag deep thought. Hashtag put it on a shirt. I agree. This is more of an informative tweet, but saved it anyway. Chris Sabin, as part of this Impact 365, I am considering making video game accounts specifically to game with fans. Is this something people would enjoy? If this is something you would enjoy and you would like to play video games with Chris Sabin, tweet him at Project Sabin. This is your public service announcement brought to you by the RAC.
I think that's because, well, he wants people to play with him rather than play with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
She's a gamer.
Well, maybe they can play together.
Maybe.
Anyway, Tom Q. Wood. Kane got beat so badly by Bray Wyatt, he's now channeling his dad's, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt's, IRS gimmick. So, that's all I got.
Our guest, Cameron, tweeted, "Who's ready for the return of Total Divas?" Big E replies, "I can't wait for all the suggestive dancing and weave padding."
Oh, jeez. Please tell me she replied to that.
I don't see any.
Damn it.
Yeah, sorry. Don't see any. Spike asks, "In Vegas, taking out all NBA championship odds and replace them with who will finish second to the Sixers odds." That lasted a couple days. Not Bill Walton. Tony Parker handles The Rock with more excitement than Lindsay Lohan hovering over a small pocket mirror with a rolled up dollar bill.
Wow.
Fake John Madden. Evidently, Matt Ryan went as Eli Manning for Halloween this year. No. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. Fake Sports Center. Nick Foles is doing more damage to Oakland than Mexicans.
Ow!
Caitlin, how can you have spinal damage if you don't even have a spine? Hashtag roll. Hashtag Heyman. Not Bill Walton. Aaron Rodgers hurt. Green Bay without a quarterback. Now they know what the Jaguars feel like.
Ooh!
Big Show, Zack Ryder should say, "Big Show's here." Hashtag, "I am serious, bro." Hashtag, "Raw." In parentheses, "I'm here too."
Aww.
Mick Foley. "Oh, no, she didn't." At Steph McMahon. Hashtag, "Raw." Come to think of it, I've never had a problem accepting McMahon family money either. Someone named Raw Meat Goes, Dr. Isaac Yankum, finished up his dentistry conference early and showed up at Raw. Hashtag Raw, hashtag Corporate Kane.
Oh dear, poor Kane.
Chris Law on Twitter goes, "Source, Packers are bringing in Tim Tebow and Brett Favre to work out a quarterback." Same source says, "Terrell Owens and Ojo Cinco working out at wide receiver." Hashtag, I made this up. Smith Toys in the United Kingdom goes, "Due to unforeseen circumstances, Big E Langston will be appearing in place of Daniel Bryan at the store on Sunday." He replies, "Clearly I'm no Daniel Bryan. I can't grow a manly beard either. I feel like I had a point." They reply, "Beard or not, we're still glad to have you join the lineup." He goes, "Really looking forward to it. I'll bring my patchy attempt at a beard. Thanks for having me." Ryback tweeted, "Let Kali chop me last night and it paid off. Chest is nice and swollen today. The big guy is thinking." The big guy is always thinking. Caitlin retweeted and replied, "Hashtag serious tweet."
not Bill Walton. News of Full House returning to TV is a hoax. Too bad. I really wanted to see Stephanie Tanner and Kimmy Gibbler fight over an 8-ball of Coke.
Nice.
And finally, not Bill Walton. No need for Full House to return to TV anyway. If I wanted to see three sisters with eating disorders and a slew of men, I'd watch The Kardashians. And that's tweet of the week.
Ouch. Harsh. So, now we're just going to move into our question of the night. I know it's been a long show, guys, and we're almost done, I promise, but yeah. So, we've got our question of the night, which is, what did you think of Corporate Kane?
We have our reaction. Does this mean I get to hear his libertarian opinion on television? If so, I'm all for it. Just for the surreal nature of Kane, the big red monster talking politics within the WWE instead of outside. That said, I'm sure it'll be pretty good. Liked it. Should be interesting. Really enjoyed it. Want to see more? Some of the comments we got. So I ask you, Lindsay, what do you think of the director of operations, Corporate Kane?
I'm intrigued. I'm not going to lie. I'm really kind of intrigued, especially with some of the stuff that's coming out right now about the new direction for the character. If you watch Triple H's weekly interview with Michael Cole, Triple H announced that Kane is now the director of operations for WWE.
Right.
So think about that. Kane is now officially a corporate stooge.
Yeah, he has a corporate position.
He has an office, probably with a secretary. Think about that. Okay? Kane. Think about that.
Kane not only has an office with a secretary, he is now on the Twitter machine. Tweeting.
He's also, yes, he has also gotten on the Twitter machine, and he is tweeting, which is terrifying.
He's tweeting, retweeting, and replying.
Yes. It's scary. Although, I asked him about, you know, applying to be his secretary, I never heard anything back. Thanks, dude. Greatly appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm very intrigued by it. I'm curious to see where they're going to take the character, because it seems like, at least the way Triple H was talking, they're going to give Kane a brain. If you don't know Kane, if you don't follow Kane outside of the WWE, Glenn Jacobs is an incredibly intelligent individual. He's big into politics. He's big into really the Homestead Movement. He's big into, or I shouldn't say the Homestead Movement, but he's big into conservation. And he's really, he's very well learned. He would kill me. He's very well read. He's very intelligent. And if you hear the man speak outside of the WWE, he is a complete 180 from his character of Kane.
Right. So now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wasn't done. Me. So, I'm very, very curious to see if we see that side of Glenn Jacobs' personality come into Kane, where we now see the intelligent side of Kane, because we've seen hints of it before, but we've never gotten it full on. And so this role that he's playing now would allow him to have that level of intelligence.
If you can talk. It gives him a level of intelligence because they gave him, well, a brain.
Why, if I had a brain, I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Really? You had that queued up just for this?
Yep. Hey, you put it in my brain like 2 days ago, and I've been waiting for it, or yesterday, rather.
Yeah, I know you have. That's what terrifies me, is that you were waiting for it.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it last night, or yesterday, during the day. Yeah. Yeah. If I only had a brain. Anyway, yeah, they give him a brain. And it begs the question, I'll throw this to you, because I'm not really sure where he lies in the power structure of things. But where do you think he lines up? Because I don't think he can make matches, but I think he controlled the chaos.
I would agree. I think he can control the chaos. This was kind of something you and I were talking about last night as we were thinking about this topic during show prep is, you know, it's the director of operations. So Kane would obviously have some corporate power. What that is, we don't know yet because that hasn't been addressed. Obviously, he is not as powerful as Triple H and Stephanie as they are the head of the authority. But it almost seems like you have Kane is now going into that next level of really management where it's you have Hunter and Steph at the helm, then you have Kane, who's really kind of sort of almost the messenger, and then you have the GMs, which, you know, I would be very, very curious to see if Kane is above the GMs, if he's on the same level as the GMs. I'm not entirely sure.
I believe he's below the GMs because I don't think he can make matches, but he's going to carry out the plans of the McMahon family authority. So whatever they want to get done, whether it's like we saw Monday night when something has to get done, like taking out the Big Show, he's there to provide whatever is needed.
I would agree that he's there to follow their directives. I don't know if he... I would like to see him above the GMs. I would like to see him have that kind of authority to at least be able to make decisions in the case that that Triple H and Stephanie aren't there. Because really where you could use him probably the wisest is on SmackDown when Hunter and Steph are very rarely there. And Vicky's kind of on her own, whereas on Raw, they're always there.
They're always there on Raw, so he could be the guy who makes sure shit gets done when they're not around.
Absolutely, I would agree. What do you think of it?
It's intriguing. We talked about something. It's like where do you see the character going? We all kind of didn't think of this. We didn't think of actually putting him in a suit. It's a rebirth for the character. I mentioned this to you before. Kane has a life after pro wrestling, and that's coming up in the next 3-4 years where he's going to transition out of WWE and into politics, and now he's redefining who he is as a character, probably to, well, take the stigma away from what he was and position himself for an afterlife. I'm curious to see where they go with it. It's intriguing. It's something different. It's the most intriguing he's been as far as a character goes in a long time. Hell No was Hell No, but that was a duo and that was comedy. This is a character. It's the most intriguing it's been in, I would say, 5-6 years.
It's something of, I would agree with that, it's something more of you don't know where they're going to go with this, and this could go either really, really good or really, really bad. And the thing about it is Hell No helped a lot to humanize Kane. Mm-hmm. And this is the further humanization of that character where you're taking him out of that supernatural and you're blending him into that blurred reality era.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what's happening now. So, you know, it's like Kane was always one of those characters that after the Attitude Era had a really hard time kind of finding his place. And he would have moments where he did, but for the majority of the time, they just really didn't know what to do with it. And so this is why this is so intriguing, because I said it, I think, last week on the show that with the Wyatts, you know, we wanted to see a rebirth of Kane. We wanted to see a change of Kane.
Right.
And we're getting it. We're getting a complete, basically, reboot of the Kane character now, where he's transitioning out of the ring, really, and into the more corporate world. Now, that isn't to say that Kane still won't get in the ring. I'm sure he will. But that would be also an interesting thing to see is what he does when he wrestles, if he wrestles at this stage.
Right.
But it's a reboot of the character. It's not what everybody thought it was going to be, and I think that's why the reaction is what it is, because I think a lot of people, including myself, thought he was going to be with the Wyatts.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know. He could be. I mean, a lot of people are saying that Stephanie, Hunter, Paul Heyman, they all could be Bray Wyatt's devil. What if it's Kane? What if Kane, you know, in this position of the director of authority, is the one kind of sort of pulling the strings for Bray Wyatt, and he's the one that sort of turned the tables on Bray Wyatt, and he's controlling the Wyatt family.
Hmm.
That'd be intriguing.
And Stephanie and Hunter are using the Wyatts through Kane.
Hmm.
Because think about that dynamic, especially if Kane has authority over at least the talent, because he's got to have at least that.
Maybe.
I would say he's director of operations, yeah. He's at least in a corporate position where he would have, at least in the corporate structure of things, he would have some authority over the talent.
That's possible.
So it's, you know, think of that first interaction between Kane and Daniel Bryan.
Hmm.
Think of that interaction, you know, we saw it kind of on Monday between the Shield and Kane. And everything, all that history there. Provided this is going on when WrestleMania happens, which it probably will be, think of that interaction with his brother if we get it.
It's like, we figure this out, like every time Taker disappears, Kane changes persona and look and stuff like that. And it's like, this time around, one time, he puts the mask back on, then he becomes best friends with a gnome, and now he's short-haired and a director of the operations. It's like, boy, how Kane changes over the years.
Yeah, and it's something of also, they could potentially eliminate Brad and Vicky and just have it go to Kane, where Kane is over Raw and SmackDown, which would be really intriguing to see him in that kind of role.
If they gave him that power, yeah, but I don't think they'll give him that power because I think he still has a career in the ring and you don't want to mix those two up.
I agree, but I think at this stage you don't really need him in the ring.
No, and this will be one of the things I thought about earlier. It's like, now you have him out of the ring. This is easier on his body. It will, add more length to his career, more longevity, keeping him out of the ring where he doesn't have to wrestle all the time.
I would agree with that 100%. Absolutely. This is just going to add time. They could potentially hold Kane out of the ring until the Rumble, until Mania, and you don't need Kane to wrestle right now, and it's something of, it could come out that, at least for right now, you know, because we saw what happened to him at SummerSlam and his neck would have been messed up because of that. Maybe Kane suffered a career-ending opportunity or a career-ending injury. And Triple H said in the interview, Kane asked for this opportunity. Hunter didn't give it to him.
Kane asked. And now it's something where he wants this opportunity. He wants to be in this role. And we're going to have to see what he does with this role.
Right.
Which means Monday's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Monday and seeing how they address this, if they address it further. I'm sure they will, because it was the biggest thing coming out of Monday Night Raw was corporate Kane. Everybody lost their shit.
It was on Twitter. It was on the Facebooks. Yeah, on the Tumblrs. God, the Tumblrs.
Yeah, I've gotten rocks addicted to Tumblr. It's amazing.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting thing, and I'm curious to see where they go starting Monday night when they're in Europe.
I'm also curious to see where they go with the Wyatts on Monday night. I just had this to just kind of transition out of that very serious, thoughtful discussion we had. I don't know why I want this, but I almost wish WWE would adopt the 24/7 service while they're in Europe, just to follow the Wyatt family around Europe. Just because it's like, if you want to talk about a clash of worlds,
that's it.
I
mentioned to you this before, and it's a shame they're not going there. They're not on that tour, I don't believe, where they go to France. The Wyatts at the Eiffel Tower.
Oh my god, that would be amazing! Dude, you take Bray Wyatt to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and you just have him standing there with his arms outstretched over Paris, laughing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point in Paris, I forget what it is, but it's in the same mall that the Eiffel Tower sits in, and you kind of stand on a balcony, and you actually overlook the Eiffel Tower and that district of Paris, and I can just see Wyatt standing there, you know, with the Eiffel Tower and everything behind them. I can just see it. in my head. I've been to Paris, sorry. That's how I know this. Anyway, but yeah, so it's like, I would love to see them follow the Wyatts around with a camera. Just because also, I don't know why, for pure comedy shtick, I see them driving through the English countryside, and they slam on the brakes and stop. Eric gets out of the car and runs over into this field. He's got the sheep mask on, and the next thing you see is nose-to-nose with a sheep, and he's confused. I don't know why. In my head, it seems hilarious. Just because, you know, poor Eric, he gets the short end of the stick.
He usually does.
Like, oh, well, poor Eric. But anyway, I think we're done, unless you have a rant.
No, I honestly don't have a rant.
Okay. Well, in that case, we are going to wrap it up for this evening on the rec. So, Rock, I believe you have stuff to plug.
Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, WTR Games Garage with Mace goes through WWE 2K14, starting at WrestleMania 11. So you want to check it out, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, Ace, and Subway, as you've heard during the break. When we let Sub pick, things get interesting, so you don't want to miss it. It's CB Radio, it's the weird, it's the wacky, it's the unusual, it's midnight-ish right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Sunday night, WTR Sunday Night returns. Omega, the end-all, be-all of WTR, returns to Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, joining him and Mace, along with ourselves, to cover a week in pro wrestling. Monday night, we'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack Live right here, 11 p.m. Eastern. Tomorrow during the day at RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com, Total Divas, the extra, the Rack Extra, the Total Divas edition with our interview you heard tonight, and you can hear in that episode on replay, the Rack Extra, Ariane Cameron Andrew will be on the Rack Extra, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, plus our preview of the upcoming season.
Looking forward to that. So, we would like to extend a huge thanks once again to Chris Jericho, to Ariane Andrews, to the E-Networks, to WWE, to everybody over at ButI'mChrisJericho.com. Thank you all so much. If you guys haven't checked out But I'm Chris Jericho, go watch it. The first 4 episodes are available. They are amazing. Also, please check out Total Divas, 10 p.m. this Sunday. If you're a fan of the show, I have every confidence you're really going to like it, just based on what I've seen, which is pretty much what you all have seen. So I can't wait. I'm excited. I know Rock can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. So check it out, Total Divas, Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right after the Kardashians. So check it out on E!
Yes, so I'd like to also extend a huge thanks to our sponsors, TNAsylum.com, PWMania.com, and of course the fine folks over at Memorabilia Lane, MemLanePromo.com, for all your memorabilia needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! Conversation.